Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, May 1st. It's 5 minutes after 11 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So occupying all of the news right now is the occupation and encampments on university campuses. NYPD said that they arrested and charged all of those people who were in Columbia, and they're going to be charged with third degree burglary, criminal mischief, and also trespassing. And the people that camped out on the lawn at the university would face trespassing and disorderly conduct charges.
But didn't they sort of do this to themselves because New York has been a haven for lawlessness?
Yeah.
They're a sanctuary city. They've invited all these illegals in. Look at what happened during 2020. How many of the people who looted and rioted, you know, destroyed businesses, etc., how many of those people were held to account? If you, people, society, naturally, inherently, there are very few people who are actually without threat of force behave in a decent and upright manner. I mean, let's face it. Threat of force is how you get a civil, decent society. And by threat of force, I mean, there are ramifications for your actions. There are rules, there are regulations, there's, you know, human decency, especially as it relates to other people's stuff and stuff that is not yours and how you are to treat that. And the only thing that really keeps many people from breaking laws is the threat or threat of consequence. Well, the people have been taught repeatedly,
doesn't matter.
There are no consequences.
Right. You can do what you want. It's okay. Well, apparently 119 people were arrested at Columbia, and things got a little more forceful on the campus of UCLA. And it's only a matter of time when you sit there and threaten violence that tempers are going to flare and then violence happens.
Yeah, it's 100% on these lunatics who, again, it's just like the riots of 2020. The overwhelming majority of those people that were involved in that, it had nothing to do with George Floyd or how black people were being treated. They were using that as an excuse or a catalyst to behave like insane people. And many of the people who in 2020 were brought in, paid for by Marxist communist groups and individuals who wanted to disrupt society. And you're seeing the same thing here. You're not going to get me to believe that there's a gajillion people out there who suddenly are very concerned about the plight of Hamas, right? They're using it as an excuse to be a disruptor, to be an agitator. And they're hoping, quite frankly, for this, they can create the same level of civil unrest that was created in 2020 because they had a positive outcome in terms of the election. Look at how society has changed over the past 4 years. Kevin and I were talking about this the other day during one of our breaks. 2020 seems like 5 decades ago, doesn't it? Like the pre, if you think about life pre-COVID and to life today, it seems like some sort of foreign fog or dream or something that, like, remember all those years ago how life existed pre-COVID? It was only 5 years ago or 4 years ago or however, you know, 4.5 years ago. It wasn't that long ago, yet it seems like forever that there was some distant land where we lived in a pre-COVID world. Think about all the negative change that has happened. I mean, we are spending a whole bunch of our shows now talking about it. The home evaluations and the property taxes and the affordability of homeowners insurance. Same thing with cars.
And how people don't want to vote because they think it doesn't matter.
It is amazing how much these communists, these Marxists, successfully altered society, and there appears no will on the other side to fight back to bring that pendulum, as we talked about yesterday, back to the middle where it needs to be.
Well, it's like, you know, when you learn something and you see the truth and you wanted to believe it wasn't true, but when it gets shown to you repeatedly over and over again, eventually your eyes have to be open to the fact that, oh, this is reality, and it's kind of depressing sometimes.
It really does feel like, and I don't mean to make light of this, but this is the first thing that came to mind, the scene in Animal House when Bluto gives this the great speech, what's this lying around expletive? Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of where we're at. I feel like we, the decent people, the good people, the conservative people, the law-abiding people, we're like the Delta house, after warmer drops the big one, I just feel like we're just looking for someone to be a leader and say, I will lead. I will be the guy who will lead this charge to cut the crap and to restore America and restore governments to where they need to be. Where is the next Reagan revolution? Where is the next contract with America? It just simply, those people are not existing right now.
Well, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, he definitely took a position on the protests at college campuses, but doesn't really do anything. So that sounds about right.
Anti-Semitism is a virus. And because the administration and woke university presidents aren't stepping in, we're seeing it spread. We have to act. And House Republicans will speak to this fateful moment with moral clarity. We really wish those in the White House would do the same. We will not allow anti-Semitism to thrive on campus, and we will hold these universities accountable for their failure to protect Jewish students on campus. And that's why today we're here to announce a house-wide effort to crack down on anti-Semitism on college campuses. Nearly every committee here has a role to play in these efforts to stop the madness that has ensued.
Okay, so he says we're announcing a house-wide effort. Oh. Every committee has a role to play. Mm-hmm. He was clear, wasn't he?
Oh, my
goodness.
Was
he specific,
no,
Rob?
No, no. I don't know if it's possible to have less than zero respect for another human, but I have less than zero respect for this guy, just like Kevin McCarthy before him, because they're liars.
Right.
They lie. They lie. And what they do, and this is what the Republicans do, and this is what they've done under McCarthy, and now they've done under Johnson, is they will do things when they know they won't pass. They'll do things when they don't have teeth. Then when they have the opportunity to put teeth into something, like a border security bill, like ensuring that you don't have 9 million people pouring across the southern border illegally, or getting spending under control, or reforming the IRS, or whatever it might be, they don't do it, because they don't actually want to do it. So he had an opportunity. Like, this is not some new thing. Oh, man. There's unrest on college campuses, and there's a bunch of anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas lunatics running around college campuses. He knew that when he struck a deal to print $90 billion plus dollars to give to Ukraine and to Israel and to Taiwan. And not only did he not get border security, if this was such a big damn deal to him, he could have got whatever he wanted when he did that. He didn't do anything. This guy is a panderer. He sounds like Droopy Dog, by the way. Hey, Kevin, can you play the front of that again and tell me that does not sound like Droopy Dog is now the Speaker of the House?
Anti-Semitism is a virus.
Okay. Yeah, he is. I have zero respect for this guy. I have zero respect for the Republicans. They're liars. And I give zero credence to anything those people say, because all they ever do is manipulate and not follow through.
Okay, well, here's a guy who likes to investigate forever, James Comer from the House Oversight Committee. He said he's going to follow the money trail, right? He said it appears global elites are funding these hateful protests in tent cities.
The failure of Columbia University to address the pro-Hamas mob is an appalling lack of leadership. Now we are witnessing copycat anti-Israel protests pop up at universities across the country. These radical protests threatening violence against Jews are anything but organic. It appears global elites are funding these hateful protests and pop-up tent cities. These are the same groups that fund other radical agendas, including diminishing America's energy production and pushing soft-on-crime policies that harm the American people. The House Oversight Committee will follow the money trail, expose it to the American people, and seek to hold bad actors funding hate accountable.
Okay, do you believe a word of this guy says? Because he said that they're going to hold people accountable.
Sure.
He's the guy who wants to hold everybody accountable.
Well, if we go by his Biden timeline, that means by, let's see, by late summer 2025, we might finally maybe get some answers. Not any action on it, but we might maybe get some information and some answers. I just love that these Republicans in the House of Representatives, they're like, man, and it's the same thing that we see here in our own state legislature. Man, this is really bad. If only someone would do something about this.
If only someone.
As though they are not the people in the position to do the thing about the stuff to which they complain. They control the money. They could cut off every federal funding for every government program if they wanted to get whatever they want. The answer is they don't want to do anything about it. They don't actually care.
Okay, so not to completely dishearten you about the future of the country, there is a glimmer of hope, and it comes from some fraternity boys on the campus of University of North Carolina.
The Iwo Jima guys.
Yes. Okay, now I want to read this thread because this is from one of the guys that was there. He said, "Today was a sad yet empowering day at Chapel Hill. When I walked to class, I saw the Palestinian flag raised on our quad flagpole and was immediately upset at the act that these protesters had made. I cannot say I fully am educated on the Israel-Palestinian conflict, but it upset me that my country's flag was disrespected in order to advocate for another. Shortly after Chancellor Roberts came with police officers to hang the flag once again, they were met with profanity, middle fingers, thrown bottle rockets, and water. When the flag was raised once again, the Greek community began singing the national anthem, and as the chancellor left, the quad erupted into chaos, and protesters began removing the flag once again, preparing to destroy it. He said, my fraternity brothers and I ran over to hold it up. We were not going to let the American flag touch the ground. He said, we stood for an hour defending the flag that so many fought to protect.
Well, good on them. At least somebody gives a damn about this country,
at
Casey.
At least somebody cares, and it's a group of guys.
All right, when we come back, look, at this point, you can't shame these people into doing anything, but clearly, since they don't care about our legislature, doesn't care about the old people and how they're going to figure out how to stay in their home, maybe if they know they're screwing veterans over, maybe that will motivate them to do something. So I'm going to read you an email I got about a terrible choice one veteran is now having to face because of the out-of-control property taxes.
It's coming up with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning, 20 minutes after 11 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
So our lawmakers have no shame. And you can't really, guilt them into doing the right thing. Trust me, Casey, I've been trying on it now for 7 years. Mm-hmm. And the harder I try, the more progressively worse it becomes. But I thought, with this property tax thing, maybe we've been going about it all wrong because we've been talking about, you would assume you're trying to appeal to people's human decency of okay, let's start with the old people.
Yeah.
Screw able-bodied people like us, even though we're getting totally hosed. Let's try to work on the old people first, maybe the senior citizens. Well, that clearly hasn't worked because we've been at this for 3 years now, 4 years now, in my case, and we've gotten nowhere. So I got this email and I thought, well, maybe if the lawmakers have no shame about screwing widowers and the elderly, maybe if they know they're harming the veterans, maybe because we pass things for veterans all the time. And right. I got this email and I thought, well, heck. We're getting all of these real world story emails from people, and I cannot imagine what a horrific human being you have to be to know that people in our society are getting screwed, know you have the ability to fix it, and just go, yeah, it's kind of a local issue. I mean, they know this is going on. I mean, I assume they're hearing from people at the grocery stores. I mean, all these candidates for governor, Matt Hiblin and I were laughing about this the other day, that every one of these candidates for governor will say, oh, yeah, that's the topic I hear the most about.
It's a real sticky wicket.
But then they never present any solution.
That was a tough one.
So I got this email, and I'm going to read it. It comes from Ken. Mm-hmm. And are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, Rob, here's a crazy property tax story. A Marine Corps disabled vet, husband and father of two young kids, bought what he thought would be the perfect forever home to raise his family up in Madison County. He bought this home 9 years ago and hasn't changed or updated anything. This home, which had an original purchase of $250,000, was within his budget, has somehow doubled in value since the COVID real estate insanity began. As you can imagine, both property taxes and home insurance have also doubled. Now they have no choice but to sell so they can buy a home at today's value of $250,000 so that they can once again afford property taxes and insurance.
Wow.
However, to get a $250,000 house at today's prices means a drastic cut to the quality and size of property they currently have. Of course, with the increased value of the current property, they'll be able to come out fine financially, maybe even better off since they lived in that home for 8+ years, meaning no capital gains tax. However, why should they have to go through this just because our so-called conservative politicians in Indiana don't give a damn about us? I hate this entire election cycle. I find myself voting against people rather than for, as in voting against all incumbents, mm-hmm. regardless of party.
Mm-hmm. He got the message.
I think that's just perfect, Casey. I think that's just where the majority of people are at. It's like this Joe Badett guy that's running against Jeff Thompson. He has incessantly tried to like get a hold of me and tell me his story, and I just told him, dude, I don't care. Like, unless you're photographed with Che or Castro somewhere, I'm voting for you because Jeff Thompson has done such a terrible job. Like, but it sucks. I feel bad that that's how I'm voting, but that's the only thing I have now. Because our elected people, simply to know there's not even a disagreement that the problem exists. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's a fight over, well, how big of a problem actually is this? And reasonable people will come to disagreements. And if everybody doesn't agree that that's a problem, then it doesn't get action. Everybody's acknowledging this problem exists. And they have for several years now. And yet they do nothing.
Right. But, well, what did the one politician tell you? Well, yeah, it's just, it's very... very intense, yeah. and there's a lot of facets to it, and you wouldn't understand. By the way, I want to thank that Marine for his service, but how awful that they have to move out of their family home because of this.
I got another email, if we can go ahead and read this, because I want Rob at WIBC.com. What is your email? I never email you.
It's Casey at WIBC.com.
And by the way, I will be out tomorrow and Friday, mm-hmm. so... email Casey mm-hmm. as well with these, and we'll keep reading them on the air because we want you to know you're not alone. And we want to motivate people to contact your legislators and demand that they take some sort of action.
But, you know, the frustrating part is, and I get voicemails all the time, we don't air all of them, but people do contact them and they get nothing back. They either hear nothing back or there's a, that needs to be worked on.
They don't fear you. And that's where it comes back to. If you vote for any incumbent, you're voting for the problem. You're part of the problem. If you vote for Mike Braun, you're part of the problem. If you vote for Suzanne Crouch, you're part of the problem. If you vote for Brad Chambers, you're part of the problem. If you vote for Eric Doden, you're part of the problem.
Before you read that email, I did want to say one thing. You know, we were talking about how people are voting against people rather than for people. And there is one part that is getting me excited to vote, and that is the delegates.
Yeah, yeah.
So that they can get the disruptor Micah Beckwith in there.
Let me read this email, and then we'll talk about how you can, if you really want to do something, we'll talk about how you can do that. All right. Well, Rob, I never would have believed I would be giving you a compliment and thanking you for telling the truth about your Republicans. You deserve it, and there it is. The truth about property tax and taxes in general for a Republican-controlled state of so-called low-tax party is ridiculous. You've been constantly calling them out daily with the phony blowhard Mike Braun. The only thing that clown is concerned about is running his mouth and, for some reason, wanting to see and hear his goofy-looking self on TV. He doesn't care about property tax because it's not personally an issue for him. For the record, I don't like the far right or far left. Politics are like a bowling alley. The far right and far left are the gutters. Look into the corporate profits since the so-called inflation keeps going. There was an inflation spike because of COVID and supply chain issues and things. Since then, it's mostly greed-driven BS. No one wants to address the biggest cause. It's just like the Medicare, Medicaid we can't afford and is running out of money, largely due to the pharmaceutical, medical, and insurance companies ripping everyone off and no one will talk about it. And I just think that's where people are at. It's like they look around and everywhere they feel like they're getting screwed. They feel like whether it's the cost of food, whether it's the cost of medicine, whether it's the cost of healthcare, mm-hmm. whether it's the cost of living in their home, whether it's the cost of insurance, people are running out of money. Like they're running out of real estate. They're running out of rope. It's not that they're being irresponsible. It's not that they're not working. It's like I only have so many hours in the day to earn a living. and raise my kids. And where else am I supposed to turn? Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do? And no one is helping them. And that's why you're hearing the frustration that you're hearing.
Okay, so you mentioned getting involved.
Yeah, I mean, he actually has a video out right now. Micah did. He just put it up on Facebook talking about the property tax and talking about how if he is elected lieutenant governor, mm-hmm. screw whoever the governor is, we're talking about that. And we're going to stay on it and we're not going to solve it because he's right. It's a moral issue. You know, and one of the great things about Micah is the moral compass that he has. And he has said it's a moral issue when you are taking from people, when you're irresponsibly taking from people, and especially when it involves their home that they bought that you, the government, had nothing to do with. So the delegates are the most important thing you're going to vote on this election cycle. Let's face it, the overwhelming majority of these people running for public office are in many cases total zeros, and they're going to let you down anyway. But you have an opportunity, if we can get him in there as lieutenant governor, to have a legitimate person with a bully pulpit who is not beholden to this party. The party is the problem. The stranglehold of the power structure, the Hathaways, the Kyle Hupfers, the Holcombs, that people get totally wed and beholden to the party, and they're afraid of the party. And if we can get somebody in there that's not beholden to the party, that's beholden to us, mm-hmm. we have a puncher's chance. So if you go ahead.
I was just going to say, listen to this. Indiana House Republican Campaign Committee and the state Republican Party have reported in the past week some $350,000 in spending on behalf of House incumbents.
And it includes guys like Jim Lucas, yeah. because obviously Jim Lucas is a complete train wreck and a disaster. And if you're represented by him, you should be totally embarrassed to be represented by Jim Lucas. And like I said, if you actually want to watch me crap a rainbow on live radio, I can't imagine that it's actually going to happen. And I would get that lucky because he has such an overwhelming advantage with the establishment. Mm-hmm. By the way, the establishment running in with money to save Jim Lucas mm-hmm. is hilarious. And these other establishment House Republicans who have legitimate primary challenges, they're not saving them because they like them. They're saving them because they're reliable votes.
Right.
They know they'll do whatever the party says. And if you look at the track record of Jim Lucas, he votes for all the spending. He votes for all the growth of government. He posts on Facebook well, but in terms of actual accomplishment, there's nothing. And so Micah is it. Micah is the chance. Okay, so if you go to his website, MicahBeckwith.com, there's a big tab at the top that it's called Micah's Picks, and it has people who have said at the convention, we will vote for Micah for lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. And so when you vote for your delegates, this is a way for you to kind of judge who should I be voting for in order to ensure we're voting for people who will vote for Micah. Because let's face it, all of these House and Senate Republicans have had 4 years to fix this, Casey. They're not going to fix it. They don't care. So you have to start standing up for yourself, or you can't keep complaining if you keep voting the same people in that they keep doing the same thing that they've always done. $350,000, Casey, mm-hmm. they're throwing in to save these people. They
yep.
ain't doing it because they're nice guys or look good in suits. They're doing it because they're reliable yes votes against you.
It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. It's a fight, and this one, it's real. Tyson's upcoming bout with Jake Paul has been sanctioned. Most Valuable Promotions said, yep, they're going to make this a real fight. It's going to be the first official fight that Mike Tyson has been in since 2005, and it's going to feature 2-minute rounds, 14-ounce gloves, and this will go on Tyson's 50-6 record.
Look, I mean, you put Mike Tyson in terms of, especially if you're of a certain age, I'm 40, so if you're anywhere between probably the ages of, say, 35 mm-hmm. and 60, you were, or maybe not 60, but 35 and 55, you were a young person when Mike Tyson was at some level in his prime, and certainly pre-go-to-prison Tyson was arguably the greatest pure puncher that ever lived. I mean, the problem with the Tyson fights was always they couldn't get more than 1 or 2 rounds out of the guy that he was fighting because the guy was just
knocking his opponent out.
Yeah, and so he wasn't that great a boxer, technically. He was just a phenomenal puncher and, you know, the baddest man on the planet. And mm-hmm. so there is, look, Mike Tyson obviously had a very sordid past. He did some horrific things. But in terms of people my age, they remember the Mike Tyson punch out game, and everybody was a little Joe or whatever it was, and all those wacky characters that you had to beat to get to Mike Tyson at the end. And so from a nostalgia standpoint, this is going to sell very well. It's going to be very popular. Obviously, Jake Paul has this, phenomenal internet following. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, this guy's a fraction of Tyson's age. He should, from a boxing perspective, be able to run circles around Tyson. However,
stamina alone,
if he stands wrong once, mm-hmm. and that's going to be the intrigue here,
right?
Tyson could knock him out. It's like in 2006, they made that Rocky movie and they had Antonio Tarver, who was a legitimate boxer, play the role of the champ against Rocky. And Rocky at the time was similar age to what Tyson is now, and it's this, hey, one dream fight. They had this Nintendo game or whatever that scores this imaginary fight between them, and they decide to do it for real. And that's kind of what this is. It's like everything on paper says that Paul should run circles around Tyson, but the nostalgia in people my age is like, hey man, one good punch and Tyson can knock this dude down.
That's all he needs. Tyson is 58, or he will be 58 years old when the fight happens in July. And the betting community responding kind of positively to Tyson. They're giving him nearly even money with Jake Paul.
That's probably unrealistic, given his age and the lack of the limitation he's going to have associated with that, and his lack of in-ring experience mm-hmm. over the past almost 20 years. There's nothing on paper that you would say he should win this fight. However, you watch those training videos, and that dude, remember the video of him beating the snot out of that guy on the airplane? And it's like, I will not pay for this, but if a WIBC listener is going to be paying for this and would like for me to
come
to their event,
you'll come hang out with them.
I would be tempted to do this. These fights rarely live up to the hype. The last fight I paid money to see was the famous guy.
The famous boxer.
The guy Mayweather. Jeez, senior moment. I was like, oh my gosh, Mayweather and Pacquiao. This mm-hmm. would have been mm-hmm. 8 or 9 years ago now,
yeah.
And that was the fight that was so popular. They were literally charging people to get into bars,
right?
To be able, not in addition to the drinks you had to buy, they were literally charging a cover to get in to watch that fight. That fight didn't near live up to the hype. Pacquiao got injured, and it was like...
Isn't that fight like $100?
Oh, it was super. But it was like even the bars were charging people like, $20 to get in, mm-hmm. and you had to get there 8 hours early. I remember Kilroy's and Broad Ripple, we got there like in the afternoon, and it was sold out.
Right.
Like you had to sit there all day. Obviously, it was great business for them. But this kind of has that vibe to it. I think it's a hype will be more than the actual fight itself, but it is intriguing. It is fun to talk about. Can the old goat, can the mm-hmm. old dinosaur, does he have one great punch
final
left in him? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of it. The anticipation sometimes is more fun than the actual event. So Mike Tyson said that in preparation for this fight, he's giving up weed and sex. Now, just like Tiger Woods, when he was preparing for the Masters, he said that he was giving up the sex as well. What is it with these athletes who don't want to get down?
I don't know.
Casey,
let me be as clear as I can be to our audience, as specific as I can be to our audience.
Please.
Any athletic endeavor I engage in, or any endeavor that I engage in, period, uh-huh. I will never.
Right.
And I mean ever.
Give it up?
Ever. Am I saying it clearly? And I like George Bush circa 1991. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I will never give up sex.
I would think that'd be a good cardio workout for him. don't give that up. It's therapeutic.
I mean, you're cheering for... We got to cheer for Tyson on this one, right? I mean, I kind of hate to do that, but from a nostalgia standpoint...
I don't know. Let me think about it. I'll get back to you when it gets closer to the fight.
Tell your husband to buy this fight.
He would. He would do it for you. Abdul's going to join us next. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Look at that girl with the lights coming up in her eyes. 93
WIBC. It is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Casey's here. And oh, my goodness, I can't think of a better way to wrap up the show. He's an author. He's a broadcaster. He's an attorney. And he's the owner and operator of IndyPolitics.org. Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, hello.
And he's also tired and ready for May 7th to get here. I'm sorry, take that back. May 9th to get here.
So you had an interesting piece over at IndyPolitics.org where you are basically sick of everyone and everything in politics, and you're very disappointed in the entire primary process this year.
Not so much disappointed. I mean, I do this for a living. Been doing this for a living for 30 years. And about this time, you always get sort of like, okay, are we done yet? Because if I hear axe attacks, if I hear I'm a conservative, if I hear I'm an outsider, if I hear conservative tested leadership, if I hear another, you know, Book of Daniel, you know, quoted on a stage, I'm going to pull my hair out.
Okay, so let's start with the governor's race. There were too many. I maintain there are too many people running. I'm all for competition, but there's too many people running. And I think that's why Braun has maintained the lead, is these votes are just getting divided up. And there's just so much noise. It's hard for people to get through. So they kind of are just disinterested and tune out.
There's a lot of disinterest. For example, here in Marion County, as we record this conversation, as of yesterday, there were like 7,200 early absentee votes. And with the primary being on Tuesday, in the municipal primary, there were like 30,000 early votes cast.
Wow.
in a primary.
And that was four times.
Yeah, that was a municipal primary. Now, I will say, theoretically, last year, we had like an extra week of early voting, but still, it's like the voter disinterest and dispassion is just amazing to watch.
Why do you think that is?
People are just tired. They're tired of politics. They don't like Republicans. They don't like Democrats. There's no contested presidential race here, and so why come out and vote?
We got into this a little bit on State House Happenings. There's just nothing interesting about these governor candidates. Like, there's no wacky outsider that's kind of, you know, mainstream enough that you're like, that person's super interesting.
I thought they were all outsiders.
Well. Yeah, right.
At least half of them.
I mean, there's just nothing about, hey, you know, we talk about the 5th District, and whether you like the guy or not, I don't have any idea what his views are on most things, and I don't vote for people that don't know what their views. I can't vote for him anyway because I don't live there. But like Raju, we had fun with the Raju theme song. Okay, if I lived in the 5th, I would really dig into his policy positions and want to learn about him. There's just nothing that stood out about any of these candidates for governor.
Well, actually, and I would argue, theoretically, It kind of shows that Indiana's in a good place because there's no one competing issue to really get people all worked up. Now, granted, some people have property taxes, some people have, you know, Medicaid funding. They're important, but they're not sexy, so to speak. They're not the big issue that's out. It's not a RFRA related issue that gets people all worked up. So.
Okay. You said that you think Indiana's in a good place. I think a lot of people would argue differently with that. I mean, you mentioned, the Medicaid, the property tax, our gas tax. You've got a mental health crisis. And we're last state in the country for voter turnout.
When we polled the Republican primary voters and we asked if the state was on the right track or the wrong track, I want to say about 40, almost 50% said the state was on the right track.
It's kind of low, though, for a Republican supermajority state.
Well, 50% is the right track. About 25% said not on the wrong track, and the other were undecided.
But that's amazing to me that in a Republican supermajority state, you're asking Republican voters, and whatever the number is, let's say it's 51, let's say it's 49, let's say it's 52, let's say it's 48, that you're not getting 75% of the people going, yeah, we're doing a heck of a job. That just seems very low that you can't get a nod from more than about half the voters.
That's about right. About
really?
50 in the right track, 30% wrong track, 20% undecided.
In the party that's controls everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I would get that for a general election. But
yeah, because look, present company included.
Yeah.
I think state's on the right track. You think state's on the wrong track.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Yeah.
And I'm undecided.
Exactly. Three people, all the same place, known each other for years.
Yeah.
Okay. Three different opinions.
So you had reported over at IndyPolitics.org that you, and I think this may have been a cheat sheet deal, which by the way, everybody should get a cheat sheet subscription, keep Abdul afloat and prosperous in life over at IndyPolitics.org, that it's basically down to it's Braun, but he may be in some trouble, and Crouch is the one that is ascending.
Yes. The latest polling data I had access to, Mike Braun was still about a third of the vote. Suzanne was up from 10. She was like a 20. Everybody else was still in that same area. The number of undecideds have dropped. That tells me that Suzanne's got some momentum. The question is, can that momentum carry her through to the finish line? Okay. It's like the Indy 500, those last few laps. You got to, you know, save your gas, conserve.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Mr. Racing over here.
Exactly, yeah.
Why do you think Mike Braun is in trouble, and are you surprised that no one's dropped out yet?
Well, it's too late to withdraw or drop out.
Yeah, but you could say, go vote for Tina. You could
suspend your campaign.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That you can do. But also, you got to understand, too, and it's going to sound really weird coming from y'all people, politics is known for people who have pretty big egos.
Why?
Well, yeah, I get that if you're Rittenour or Hill, there is no reason for them to drop out. But if you're Doden, Chambers, Crouch, and they all kind of have a lot of the same views on things, wouldn't you have said, you know, had to some sort of closed door mafia-esque type meeting and said, okay, we're dividing up this vote. If we two of us get out and we give all the votes to one of these people, we can actually probably beat Braun. I mean, that's how Braun's going to win, right? Like, they're going to divide up that sort of super establishment-y vote, and Braun's going to win, probably.
I would argue that Braun's also established. I would argue they're all established.
Well, I agree with you, but I'm saying the way they're presenting themselves.
Yeah, this is all outside. Like, no, you're not. You've been in off government for how long?
Please, right. Thank you.
Stop.
Let's
just stop with the outside.
Thank you.
Because none of you guys are outside. Even Eric Doden and Brad Chambers are not outsiders, because you don't run the Economic Development Commission unless you're an insider. You know what the heck is going
on. Yes, 100%. All right, Abdul's with us. Kind of an Election Day preview here. So if you had a gun to your head, you would still say Braun's going to probably win this thing, though.
I would say the win is at Mike Braun's back, but anything can still happen.
Okay, let's talk about the 5th. We got into the State House happenings. I've talked to multiple people. I get different responses. I think Victoria Sparks is going to win that race, just because I don't think the Chuck Goodrich ads, well, he's run a bunch of them, I don't think they're that good, and I don't think people are going to vote against somebody just because she's mean to her employees.
I would argue that automatically the incumbents automatically have an advantage over the challengers. And the more challengers you have, the easier it is for the incumbent to get ahead, because the incumbent will always have their base, which I would argue with Victoria Sparks is probably about, I would say, 35-40%. But in a race of, like, what, 8-12 people, that's all you need.
She's sort of in the same spot Braun's in. She's a beneficiary of there being 9 million people running.
Yep.
6th District, you and Merritt agreed on this in State House Happenings. This also blew my mind. You both think Jefferson Shreve is going to win that race.
Yep, because once again, you got a lot of people. you got your CVS Pharmacy receipt ballot. And number two, Jefferson is on television, and he's running his ads. And for the most people, those are the only ads that you'll see in the 6th Congressional District.
Like, if you live in Richmond.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about that, though. People say, well, what about Jefferson when he ran for mayor? What about his, you know, Second Amendment issues, you know, the abortion issue? Well, that's all fine and good, but it doesn't do any good if you can't get your message out, because you have no money.
And the other thing is that, and there's also a bunch of people running, but Mike Speedy's record, if you're a conservative, the tax increases, the growth in government, he's been in politics since the earth was young, he's sort of everything you kind of don't like either, so there's not like some fervor to go vote for Mike Speedy.
I would argue that where Speedy actually does well, and the race is going to be fought and won in Marion County, particularly in Perry and Franklin Township.
That's part of the district,
yeah,
right?
And also I want to say Perry Township is the biggest population center in the 6th.
No kidding.
In the 6th Congressional District.
No kidding. So that's good for Shreve.
Good for Shreve, and also to a certain degree, good for Speedy, because they're both from Perry Franklin Township area.
Before we go ahead, Casey.
I was just going to ask Abdul if he was surprised about the money being spent.
No.
Is it on par, or is it higher than typical?
Higher than typical.
Yeah.
Because you got so many people running, and so many television ads, and it ain't cheap, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
You get the cheapest rate to advertise, but it ain't cheap.
Yeah.
When I heard a John Jacobs ad on WIPC...
Hey, business is a booming, brother. Hey, so we'll obviously touch base next week. We'll have election results. So just make sure we have this before we let you go. So we have it down, see how well you do. You've got Braun, you've got Shreve, you've got Sparks.
As of today, yes.
How very lawyerly
of
you.
Because in politics, a day is a lifetime.
Theoretically.
Yes,
because,
right.
Remember, in politics, a day is a lifetime, and they're like, what? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You've got 6 lifetimes to go.
Yeah. All right. Abdul Kibjabaj, you're the best. Find him at indypolitics.org. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for us today. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you for listening. This has been Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.